Utah has joined about a dozen states exploring a new kind of revenue for road maintenance that charges drivers for miles driven rather than fuel consumed. While many states have conducted research and pilot projects on road usage charges, Utah and Oregon are the only two states with currently operating programs. In Utah Foundation's new report, Measuring the Miles, Road Usage Charges in Utah, we examine the broader movement toward road usage charges among the states, how these charges can be implemented, the advantages and disadvantages of the types of implementation, and Utah's new road usage charge program for electric and hybrid vehicles. In this edition of Utah Thrives, I talk road usage charges with Tiffany Pocock, statewide design engineer with the Utah Department of Transportation, also known as UDOT, and Julie Bjornstad, transportation planner with the Wasatch Front Regional Council. This is Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Peter Reichardt. Tiffany, as structured fuel taxes have become, in many people's opinion, financially unsustainable, as an increased vehicle efficiency has led to lower revenue per mile driven. For the past 15 years, states have been increasingly experimenting with road usage charges as an alternative. Can you explain how road usage charges work, what they are, and why they would be a good alternative to motor vehicle fuel taxes under the circumstances?
It kind of depends on which state you're in, what the definition of a road usage charge is. We're all kind of doing it a little differently, but in essence, it's really a pay per mile rather than a pay per gallon kind of concept, and it really is actually more similar to your other utility bills, like your water bill, or electricity, where you would, you pay per kilowatt or et cetera. Basically, a user's pay principle where you pay per mile and you kind of pay for what you use, similar to the gas tax. But as you said, 100 years ago, all the cars on the road were fairly similar as far as their fuel efficiency. And now, with the adoption of electric vehicles, hybrids, it's just not the same users pay kind of principle anymore.
Utah has become a national leader in a sense in this respect, in terms of road usage charges. How did we get into that position, and what's been the experience so far?
Oregon was actually the first state to have a live operational program without a sunset. As you mentioned, several states have done pilots. A lot of the states in the West are part of what's called a RecWest, and they're a research group. And we as in Utah have been participating on the research front for a long time, and brought back that research to our policymakers because they are fiscally responsible and understood too about the decline of the gas tax. The people that are sort of evading that usage right now, it are the electric vehicles, hybrids, high MPG vehicles. And so what they decided in 2018 was to adopt an alternative fuel vehicle flat fee and ask UDOT to establish a voluntary program starting in 2020. So I think that's how it came to be. They understood that the fuel tax was declining. We, as in UDOT and the state, have been participating in research on a national level for quite some time, and so it just became the opportune time that we were going to step into that market. How the experience is going thus far, so we are the second state to have a program. However, we are the largest in that we have close to 4,000 participants now. Our goal in the first year was to get to 700 to match what Oregon's tenure was. And so that for us is the mark of success, because largely the first several years, what we wanted to do was learn, because we obviously have never done this before. And so gathering participants into a voluntary program allows us to, you know, work through kind of what we didn't know, learn what the users were going to be looking for. We did do, again, some research beforehand, but you never know until you kind of step into the game, so to speak.
Now, Julie, jump in here. The Wasatch Front Regional Council has a real interest in road usage charges. Why is that?
One of the main tasks that the Wasatch Front Regional Council has been tasked to do through the federal government and local governments is to create a long-range transportation plan. And so we work with our counties and our cities, as well as UDOT and UTA, to look 20 to 30 years into the future at what transportation needs there are. That plan has to be financially constrained. So a big part of what we do is try to forecast future revenue, direct revenue sources, and how much those get brought in. Project costs are increasing. We know that through inflation, through increased price of steel and concrete and all the other parts of construction. And as you noted, both in your report that the Utah Foundation did, and there is a declining purchasing power of that gas tax. The state has been proactive and setting an index, and so the per gallon state tax has been going up over the past few years, but the federal tax hasn't. So we're interested in the road usage charge not only to better understand how projects can get funded in the future, but to have a source of funding that can better meet our needs and being able to pay for operations, maintenance, and construction of our roadways.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about some of the concerns out there. One of the concerns is the potential cost of running such a program versus the benefits and the potential complexity. Obviously, there's kind of a range of complexity in terms of the approach you take with a road usage charge. But Tiffany, can you address those concerns, cost and complexity?
The gas tax has been fairly elegant, you know, for the last 100 years, right? There's not a lot of collection points, and we're moving to a model where, you know, we are kind of collecting from each individual user. So the number of users versus the gas tax, I do not see us ever getting to the percentage of cost of collection of the gas tax, but the opportunities and, you know, the equity behind paying for what you use just has lots of opportunities. And so what we're doing to, you know, because yes, the cost of collection, at least if you look at it from a percentage standpoint, is quite high. But it's right now the technology that we're using is fairly new. And as we all know, new technology tends to cost more money. As, you know, the economy of scale, as well as more industries come into the market, because right now we're working with tolling operators primarily. And so everybody's kind of learning, and as you learn, it, you know, it tends, like, the cost of business tends to be high. When or if this becomes kind of a nationwide, there will have to be efficiencies, and again, the economy of scale will help the cost of collection.
Mm-hmm.
But the opportunities behind that, you know, I think we, as in Utah, think that there are some policy opportunities behind a user's pay principle, behind a per mile rather than a per gallon. But yeah.
The idea is that the trade-off in terms of cost and complexity would be that you're able to use that funding mechanism to address other policy objectives than just paying for your road system. So there are ways that a road usage charge can be calibrated to address traffic congestion and air quality and some other policy objectives. Can you talk about some of those, Julie?
So the nice thing about a road usage charge is that it can be pretty variable. We can set that price per mile differently based on the type of road, for instance, that the vehicle is operating on. So you can, for instance, you know, when you have a gas tax now, it doesn't matter if you're operating your truck on your ranch or your farm, you're driving on private roads, or you're on the interstate system, that same gas tax is being collected. And one of the nice things about a road usage charge is that you can exclude private roads or non-roads, like ranching roads, and really only collect that tax on public roads. You can set fees differently if it's on a dirt road versus a local neighborhood street versus the interstate system. And I think that there's a lot of potential for road usage charge can be variable to better reflect the maintenance cost of our different roadway facility types, but also be responsive to, you know, how users are paying those fees. When it comes to air quality, this is a tricky one because, you know, I think a lot of people look at the gas tax and they say the gas tax is directly causing people to drive fewer miles, and we're getting better air quality because of that. And when we look at where our air quality benefits are going to be over the next 30 years, a lot of our air quality benefits when it comes to mobile source emissions are from better gas, right, our Tier 3 fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily because people will be driving fewer miles. In addition, the gas tax itself is a very small portion of that overall cost of gas that you're paying when you fill up. Right now in the state of Utah, it's 31.4 cents. Federal is 18.4, so it's about 50 cents out of what you pay at the pump that's going to gas tax. So 10 to 15% of your total fuel price is the tax. And because it's, you know this in your report, Peter, but because that's baked into the cost, I don't think a lot of people are making rational economic decisions based on that price.
Sure.
And so when we switch from a gas tax to a road usage charge, yes, the amount of your gas cost is going down, but it's going down sort of within this range of a fluctuation. Sometimes, you know, in the summer, our gas prices are higher than in the winter. And so whether people are actually responding to that gas price is one thing. But, you know, I don't think, we're only removing the state gas tax. If the road usage charge ends up being where we remove the state gas tax, you're still going to be paying whatever, the $3 plus the 18 cents, so the $3.18, when you go fill up at the gas pump. In Oregon, they've seen, and some other places they've seen, a reduction in VMC based on people paying sort of more directly through the road usage charge. But it's not that the road usage charge replacing the gas tax means you don't pay for gas anymore. You're still paying for operating that vehicle. You know, to the extent that gas prices affect people's behavior driving, will sort of continue in the future because the majority of that fee will still be inherent when you pay at the pump.
Well, you've talked a couple of times, Julie, about the ability to maybe not charge on the private road and charge less on this road or that road. All of that kind of implies that the precise location of the driver is being tracked, if I can use that word, through the system. And this is going to raise in some quarters privacy concerns. Tiffany, can you let me know kind of what the state's thinking is or UDOT's thinking is in terms of addressing those privacy issues?
When the legislation came up to stand up a live program in 2020, you know, the first thing we did was, well, one of the first things we did was go and start to ask, do some focus groups and understand, you know, if, especially since this is going to be a voluntary program, what concerns people have. And, you know, privacy was definitely a perceived concern. And so one of the strategies we as in the state did was hired a commercial account manager to, as a third party, to collect and establish the terms and conditions with each participant. And so if, let's say I was on the road use charge program, I have kind of a contract, so to speak, with the commercial account manager saying, I would like to come in, I'm going to have this device, but all of that data and all that information is mine. The standard is that the data all goes away after 30 days. So yes, the device is kind of logging that information, and then that's the reason why we went and contracted with the commercial account manager, because that way the state doesn't receive any data other than really just how many miles people are driving. That way we can know what revenue we're generating. All the data that comes to us, we never see any personal identifiable, trackable, if we want to use that word, information. It's all been aggregated and anonymized, and that was our kind of mitigation, so to speak, to let people know, hey, we're not tracking you, we're not doing any of that. You are setting up your own terms and conditions with the third-party account manager. That way your data is protected and safe.
Go ahead, Julie.
So I think UDOT has done a superb job in listening to and responding to that sort of reaction, that initial sort of gut reaction about their privacy. I thank and applaud you, Yuta and Tiffany, for, you know, setting up this third-party system. That being said, the privacy issue that a lot of people bring up, someone's tracking me, someone knows where I'm traveling, how fast I'm going. Well, there's two things there. One, a newer car already knows that. In vehicle navigation systems that tell you where you're driving. So this idea that you know, my Toyota Prius that I drive, Toyota already is logging how fast I'm driving. They're giving me a score sort of instantaneously of how I'm braking and how, you know, my battery is doing and knows where I'm going. Secondly, there's a whole bunch of apps on your phone that also already do that. And transportation planners use data collected from phones, whether that's in the Google Maps, Strava, you know, when you go on a run with MyFitnessPal, you're logging where you're going, how fast you're running. And so all of this sort of private data about where and how long I'm somewhere and when I did that is already being collected on your phone by numerous apps sort of every time, you know, your phone is on. And I do think that, you know, I think it's a legitimate concern people have about whether that's, you know, the government or a private company having that data, but private companies already have that data. And so I think it's also important to remember that this isn't new data that we're giving to somebody. This is data that can already be aggregated, is already being collected, is already being used in terms of transportation planning. While, you know, I appreciate the state, you know, how you guys have had that set up and that the state isn't collecting that data. They're just collecting sort of aggregate number of miles. Somebody else out there, whether it's Google or Strava, does have the data of when and where you went and how fast you were going on that trip.
Let's talk about how that data might be used from a practical standpoint. We could use the data, for instance, to have a better allocation of transportation funding based on where people are driving, correct? So, for instance, if the state wanted to allocate funding based on which localities a driver was driving through, then theoretically you could have it as finely tuned to where if I'm driving from Salt Lake to Draper every day, then you could take the miles that I log in each of those places potentially and allocate funding through a local funding type mechanism. You could also say, well, based on the time of day that I'm driving, that maybe I get charged a higher rate. What are your thoughts on some of those things? Tiffany, go first.
The ability to have technology is really going to help kind of take the reduced charge program to the next level, right? We are going to be able to understand, you know, with scales right now, we can't do much with 4,000 participants as far as data and understanding the use of the network. But at large, yes, we would be able to understand, you know, Salt Lake City, their BNC's funds distribution is based off of well, not just Salt Lake City, but any city. Their portion of the gas tax that they get is based off of population and miles. But Salt Lake City, just to pick on them for a second, they have a lot of commuters come in from other cities and do work there. But they don't get to see that revenue to update their transportation infrastructure. With technology supporting the road usage charge program, we're able to really split the funds based off of use, real use, as well as, you know, with our, on a national level, with our partners that are our neighboring states. So I appreciate that Utah is really innovative and really kind of latched on to the technology option, because we're going to be able to do so much with it in the future. So,
great. Julie, what do you think?
Being able to be a little bit more accurate and equitable when it comes to the BNC distribution. Those are a lot of the BNC funds, the funds that go from to the counties and cities from that gas tax are one of the main ways that local municipalities fund roadway maintenance. And like Tiffany mentioned, it's based on population and the number of lane miles. So not only are, if you're a city like Salt Lake where you have a high daytime population because that's job location, but if you have a lot of pass-through trips, So if you're, let's say, a Riverton, a lot of trips from Harriman are going through, or if you're a Sunset, maybe a lot of Clinton trips are coming through. Also, areas that have a lot of tourists, so Park City, St. George, Moab, aren't seeing their gas tax revenue from the way the B and C formulas are, sort of those increased in non-residential population don't get through that formula. So it's not truly reflective of use. It's reflective of sort of what's built. And so it is pretty exciting to see that maybe we could do a more equitable B and C distribution. Now, with that, that's going to be a little bit, could be a political landmine, because it could show that maybe more VMT than we thought is going to locals versus UDOT. It's going to create winners and losers at the local level, but it is something that we might need to look at in the future.
What's the longer term outlook for UDOT and the state?
You know, right now, we our federal partners have been awesome in allowing us to have research grant opportunities, but we have been awarded an interoperability grant to help us look at really, you know, kind of laying out those geofences and looking at use, you know, with our local entities, as well as an integration grant, you know, looking at things like, does this make sense to integrate with tolling, and how do we integrate with all of the existing items that we have out there. And the third one is a user experience grant, where we understand right now that it's a little clunky, to be honest, to kind of come into the program and enroll and go from, you know, your online enrollment to being fully activated. And so if in the future the policymakers do want to at large have all participants, all light-duty vehicles in the program, we know we need to really dial in that enrollment process. And so really, that's the future of UDOT and what we are looking forward to, you know, piloting and hoping to implement into the program. As well as, yes, we were asked to develop a kind of future of road usage report due this year, really just explaining what the policy options, what's the toolbox for really, because they're going to have to make the future decisions. And really, we're just laying out, here are the kind of the future questions that we kind of need to ask, really what we've been talking about today.
It's almost as though we're in the middle of a grand experiment with road usage charges. And so it'll be interesting to see. This could go in a lot of different directions as it unfolds. Julie and Tiffany, thank you so much for your time. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you too.
This has been Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. Follow our work at utahfoundation.org.